Good morning, church. Welcome back. I hope that you are at your comfy of your home and enjoy the Bible reading. We thank you, Warwick, for reading the Bible, the scripture for us this morning. This morning's scripture is a very exciting scripture. And I believe when you read this part of the scripture, it's a dialogue between where Jesus had with a man. And this dialogue was, according to John, it was the most important dialogue he ever recorded throughout the. Why? Because it was on the topic about born again. Have you ever asked yourself what it means to be born again? Has anybody asked you the same question? So this we're going to for the next 4 weeks. What we're going to do is that we're going to spend time going into these 21 verses. To really look at what Jesus was talking about when he said born again. What are we, and I hope that this will help all of us to evaluate our faith and evaluate whether to ask ourselves, how can we be born again? Am I born again? Am I still born again? So yeah, that's what the theme of what John was talking about. Believe and believing. You believe and you keep believing. It's an ongoing and keep going process until the day we meet Christ. All right. So this, as I said, this is a very important part of the scripture. I hope that you'll not miss it. If you miss it, never mind. We do recording, so you can still go onto YouTube and look and trace back and listen to our live stream. It'll be recorded, but it'll come out only on Monday. All right. So here, as we go on, we see that Jesus, from the scripture that Warwick has presented to us this morning. Jesus said that if you are, you can't enter the kingdom without being born again. That is very important, isn't it? You can't enter. It's just like you can't enter your own home without the key. All right, born again is a key that God has given to us. So what happens is that within these 21 verses, Jesus presented the relationship of born again and kingdom. So kingdom is it's a state, it's a situation where you're born into. Can you imagine when you're born into this world? You are born into a kingdom. So as Jesus was presenting this to Nicodemus, to this man that we see that he come at night, he draw us four images for this born again. Jesus gave this man, who was so gracious to this man, that he draws four pictures, four images of born again. It seems like to me like he's telling Nicodemus, you don't seem to understand, let me explain again. You don't seem to understand, let me explain again. All I see from here, from this story, this dialogue, this most important dialogue that we need, is that it's grace upon grace upon grace, again and again. And then today, what we're going to do is that we're going to talk about just the birth. Born again, using the illustration of a birth. And through the scripture I'm going to present to you is that there is a reason for God to be born again. And there is the source of born again and the reality of being born again. This is something that we as the disciples, as followers of Jesus, need to grab hold of. We need to understand, otherwise we will lose confidence. We will lose that faith that we so-called call. Sometimes we just come to church for too long. We just forget who we are. We just become another human being. Church become a place where we come just, it's my chores. It's my checkbox. It's a routine that I do every single Sunday. All right, but it should not be that. It should be a life that you're born into. It's just like when we are a kid. When you are born as a baby, do you need to define yourself? Do you need to have, what proof do you need to tell you that you are human? Yeah? So born again is at such state. When you are born again into God's kingdom, you are born again. And that's it. All right? The only one that is going to prove you is the scripture. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God himself. So we see from verse 1, we see a man came to see Jesus in the middle of the night. I'm not sure whether it's midnight or maybe it's 8 o'clock in the night. Whichever time, it doesn't state there. But one thing here, he has a name. It's called Nicodemus. All right, this name appeared three times in John Gospel. All right, first time here. And then there's another time in chapter 7 and chapter 19. Over the course of 3 years, he appeared three times. It was recorded there. So we're going to see how he changed his transformation of this Nicodemus. So you got to keep watch as you read on the Gospel of John. I hope that by this time you have already finished the 21 chapters. All right. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, as according to the scripture, and he was from a Jewish ruling council. Remember what we did back a few weeks ago, talking about a Jewish ruling council? They were the authority. They were the politician, the social, economic, or religious leader. They were in power. And they were the councils that were set up by high priests, retired priests, Pharisees, scribes, you name it. They got 71 people of power in there. And Nicodemus was one of them. Can you imagine this Nicodemus with such a high power, such a status, elite probably, coming to a Jesus where he has no place to sleep? It doesn't make sense, isn't it? But this Nicodemus, the reason that John Gospel writer put him there, was introduce him as a Pharisee, as a Jewish ruling council, was because these are the people with fake faith. These were the people with, they were heavily influenced and impacted by the doctrine of works. That means to them, they need to work and work and work and do whatever they can to get to heaven. They believe by doing what we do, by reading the scripture, by coming to the temple, by doing good works, that earns them the salvation. That's the doctrine of works. But when you talk to them about grace, the doctrine of grace, that is all on grace, about from Christ, from Jesus, they can't understand it. They're blind to this. So that's the reason why he was introduced there. Now, later on, you know why John put him there and introduced his status. That is so important here. Because a man of his status, he would have been a rival to Jesus. He would have been trying to plot to kill Jesus at this time. But he came at night. We don't know why he came at night. He could be busy. He could be afraid of his peers, afraid of people of his status, afraid of people might spotted him to come. You come to see someone who is cleaning out your temple. Remember last week as they came? He came because of the miraculous signs. He's seen many signs, as you can see from scripture, not just one from the temple. He must have seen a lot of signs. He must have seen, he heard what Jesus has said throughout this time when he met Jesus. I'm not sure he had met Jesus, but he has probably following Jesus and see what Jesus was doing. I remember the last time last week, we talked about the cleansing of the temple. He was probably at the scene, witnessing what Jesus said and how Jesus did it. He was probably there. And he believed. But what does he believe? What did he believe? He believed Jesus is the teacher. He believed if Jesus is from God, because he can perform the kind of miracles that no one can do. That's all. But there's no indication here that mentioning that he believed Jesus is the Messiah. Remember that he's the last time when he was in the temple, when Jesus was cleaning the temple. After cleaning the temple, all his disciples believed only after his resurrection. Nicodemus was following him. I don't know what his agenda is, what's his reason for coming to Jesus, but definitely not coming to in seek for a savior. He come and find out probably with men of his state, he want to know more. How do you perform these miracles? How do you get so close to God again? But he's definitely not looking for a savior. So what we see from the scripture, it's a very hilarious thing here. It's a very strange thing. It doesn't add up when you read to come to verse 3. Because coming to verse 3, you hear Jesus declare, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. If you read when you read verse 1, verse 2, and then you come to verse 3, it doesn't make sense. Because Nicodemus came and said, hey, teacher, I know what you're doing is real. You know, it's from God. And all of a sudden, Jesus tells him this. Tell him this truth. Tell him the kingdom, the relation of kingdom and bond. I never asked this question. This is not what I asked. What would you do when you're at that? We are in Nicodemus' position. You would probably say, like me, and say, oh, stop, stop, stop. I didn't ask for that. I come here for my agendas. But Jesus just stick into it. Why did Jesus do that? Remember the last week when we ended saying that Jesus do not entrust himself to all those people who say that they believe in his name? Remember? That was because these people produce fake faith. Jesus do not have faith in their faith. Do not believe in their believing. That's why it says. These people come and possess a superficial kind of faith. This is exactly what Nicodemus was. Nicodemus fall in the category. He was a powerful man, so he must have fall into the same category as the doctrine of works. So that's why Jesus has to come to you, and straight away when he saw him probably of his dressing, their status, they have a certain style, kind of dress code, you know. So he recognizes as a Pharisee, as a person of power. So Jesus straight away and tell him, say, look, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Now, these are the two terms that they are very familiar. Not born again. The kingdom of God is very familiar. The Jewish leader of Nicodemus' status, he would have known what it means to be God's kingdom. All right? But first, I want to tell you there. That is, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Now, this is very important. There's 25 times that appears in the John Gospel. And out of the 25 times, three of them appear in the 21 verses in this dialogue here. What does it tell you? It tells you it is very, very, very important. So when you look through this, beware. Every time you come across Jesus' opening statement of, I tell you the truth, you better be careful. You better watch out, because what's coming up next is the truth being revealed about himself or God's kingdom. All right? Now, what is the relationship between the kingdom of God and born again? Simply this. To a Jewish concept, kingdom of God means perfect justice. It means perfect love, perfect truth. Everything is perfect. And when you talk about born again, the original text for born again is born from above. All right? When you translate to English, I don't know why you translate born again. It doesn't sound really relevant. But the original text, actually want to present that this is born from above. All right? And in other words, when you look from a biblical perspective, it talks about regeneration of a new life. Regeneration of a new life in Jesus especially. So these two, when you put them together, you see that you are born. Jesus said you have to be born from above in order to enter the kingdom. Now it was surprising. There's no surprise. When Jesus declared this to Nicodemus, or the man of that status, he misunderstood it. But the moment when Jesus said you have to be born again, he misunderstood that Jesus was talking about a physical birth. So, but Jesus was actually talking about spiritual birth, not a physical birth. So he totally got it wrong. And you see the grace of Jesus. What would you do if people misunderstood you? You probably have grace, right? Jesus has grace too. Jesus was patient with him. Jesus started another, I tell you the truth. That's the second one who appeared here. All right? Now what happened, as you can see, from these two, first, he said when Nicodemus came to him in the night, the first time he said, you see, I tell you the truth. No one see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. So he misunderstood. All right, Nicodemus misunderstood. Never mind. Okay, let me tell you again. All right. So he rephrased it. He said the same thing, but changing the words. Say, I tell you the truth. This time he said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. So you see that he was elaborating it from see to enter, from born again to born of water and born of the Spirit? It make it clear. Try to make it clear to Nicodemus. To make it, put it in a sentence that he understands. So there's no indication after this that Nicodemus do not understand what he was talking about. So what do we understand from what Jesus was trying to say? He was elaborating to us what you mean, how can you enter the kingdom? By born of water and the Spirit. So what does it mean by born of water and born of the Spirit? Basically, it means this. It doesn't mean born of the water. Some people have a weird translation or weird interpretation saying that this is baptism, water baptism, or this is like, oh, you have to illustrate that you have to be born like a baby, physical baby, in order to, like the water broke. I don't know where they get the idea from, but straight from the Bible, it means cleansing. It simply just means water used to cleanse things. All right, there's no power in the water. All right, the power is it's just a resemblance, it's just an image of God cleansing you. You know, it means repent, cleansing your sin. When you're dirty, you cleanse it, and that's it. And born of the Spirit is simply saying baptism of the Holy Spirit. That means when you say baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's different from baptism of water baptism. Like I always tell people when I baptize people, it doesn't mean a thing when I baptize you, but it means everything when you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. So what I'm doing to you, the baptism, water baptism, is just an outside expression of what happened inside. You get it? So born of the Spirit is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is what you need. That gives you assurance of your faith. All right? It means that you union with God. It means that you're submerged in God's life. So these are some of the criteria you can evaluate yourself. Am I born of the Spirit? Because if you are born of the Spirit, you do what God says. You live God's life. You do whatever you can to stay up your righteousness, the justice, the love, and show grace and compassion. Isn't it? So this is some of the key that we can have a look. All right? And what happened to this? When you are born of the Spirit and born of the as water, you repent. You repent. And you follow a new life. You begin a new life. You start a new life in the kingdom way. That's what it means. All right? You're born of the water and the Spirit. You repent from your sin. You decided to give up your sin. All right? You decided to stop doing what you were doing that offended God or offended anyone. And then you decided to start to live a new life, but not in your way. You don't sing the song, my way, but you do it. You sing the song of the kingdom way. Then the kingdom way means what? That means you have three criteria. You will see, you will pursue that. You pursue the practical realization of justice, truth, and love. No matter what happened, you will pursue justice. Look around us today during the state of pandemic. What happened? I've been keeping up watch of news, international news, local news. And everywhere I look, it's just there's no justice. In the middle of pandemic, we're supposed to help one another. We call this advertisement, say, we are all in this together. When I look at the news, no, we are not in this together. There's many selfish people out there who are doing this for themselves, not for the people's sake. That's injustice. And the word's true. You hear lies all over the place, all over news. All right? And you look around, when you look at it, there's no need, there's no love. Now, this is different. All right? That's what, but when you born into this, when you are born again into the kingdom, you leave the kingdom where you will have perfect justice, perfect truth, and perfect love. I don't have the perfect thing, but my God, the God that resides in me, the Holy Spirit that lives in me, have that perfect justice, perfect truth, and perfect love. That's why again and again, every time I get angry, the Son, the voice in me, the Spirit in me will come out and tell me and say, show love, show compassion. No matter how angry I am, all right. No matter how desperate I am to lie, you know, but God will always present that, tell the truth, and show justice. All right. So, but why do we need to live this new life? How do we need this new life? It's by the source. You get this new life by the source, not by yourself. You don't work and put a checkbox and do anything routine and practice and fake it until you make it. No, you don't do that. When you're born in the kingdom, you have this. God is the source and provider of life. right? That's how you can live it. Because back in, way in the beginning of the Gospel of John, John has clearly stated, in Jesus was life. And that life was the light of man. And then if you receive Jesus, that's the key. You receive and believe in Jesus, you were given the right to become the children of God. That's as simple as that. It's not your right, it's God's right. Remember that? And then it clearly states, born of God. That's born again. You believe in Jesus. You want that new life in you. You want that abundance life in you. You need to have the life of Jesus in you. That means you need to live, start begging that new life of Jesus in you and spark that new life and continue on. That's the only way to do it. But we got to think why God has to be the source. Now, God has to be the source is a very important thing. All right? God has to be the source of life. He has to be the source of this born again that we are talking about. This born again, remember a few weeks ago, we have contamination in the water system. The news all over the place. The water source got contaminated. And what happened? You start boiling water. Everybody got panic. Can you imagine that our God is contaminated? It will be disastrous, isn't it? God, the Bible says that God is holy. God is righteous. God is love. God is just. And God is the truth. God is everything about that. If God is nothing about that, then we got to worry. Because of our God is a holy God. Holy God produces holy people. If you live his life, you become holy. That's why we become like Christ. We become like God. We'll never be like him. We'll never be him. But we can be like him. We can live a holy life, a godly life, only when God is the source. Now when we come here, we come to see, coming to the end of it, you come to the reality of this born again. You know who's the source of this born again. It's not you. You don't generate that. It says flesh, give birth to flesh. And spirit, give birth to spirit. That's a simple, clear-cut reality. It shows us that, and Jesus commanded, you have to be born again. And what it means here is that you see the comparison between our physical birth and spiritual birth. Physical birth, we are all not born here by choice. Were you? Did you ask your parents, say, hey, I want to be born on a certain day and certain day, I want to be a boy or a girl? Did you make a decision? You don't make that decision. We are not here by choice. We are not born on this earth by choice. In fact, we are born into a world filled with flaws, a world filled with unjust, no compassion. There's some around, but there's some, mostly unjust. But in the spiritual birth, it's different. The spiritual birth, God gave us that grace of a choice. He gave us that power to choose. He allowed you to choose, allowed me to make our own way. If you say no to him, he will wait for you and he will pursue you. He will come, and the moment that you have that spiritual birth, you are born again, you have this new life in Jesus that we are talking about. That God as your source of your life. You know where to draw source. You don't well draw the wisdom from yourself. You get the wisdom from God. All the wisdom come from God. All the energy will channel to you through God, from God. And you are born in the perfect kingdom. That means we have a value ethic. We have the value of life. That to keep up with, we do not follow what this world require of us. We follow what the Bible says. We follow what God wants us to do. God wants us to show justice, wants us to show mercy, wants us to show compassion, show love, and show truth. This is exactly what we should do, rather than beating around the bush and do anything else that is not God. So church, we come to the conclusion today and say, what does it mean to be born again? It simply means this: you believe in Jesus is the Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And by his name, you will be born again. That's exactly what John was trying to say. Do you believe? Now, this is below, there's 3 points of my experience. My experience of this believing in Jesus Christ, being born again. I'm sure that I'm born again. I might not be a perfect person to you, but I'm sure I'm born again because of God's assurance, because of my experience of it is an experience of resurrection experience whereby you're dead to your past. you're coming alive in your future. You know, you don't do know in the past, with my old life, I would have died many times. But today, God keep me alive because I came to Him and I changed my life and Jesus changed my life. And it's the reality of a new creation. You do not live. I might be the same old face, but inside me is a new creation, new thoughts, new spirit with the Jesus spirit. And guess what? Because if my experience tells me when you are born again, there is an irresistible call to be Jesus' disciple that you will never miss. These are my experience. How is your experience? Have you heard the call? How would you respond to Jesus today? For those of you who have not come to Jesus, right, we got another few more weeks to see what it means to be born again. I hope that you can really, really sit down and think. But if you want to come to Jesus, don't be shy. Send us an email. Send us a text. It requires, if you want to talk to me, I'm happy to talk to you. I'm happy to pray with you or discuss anything that you would like to know. I'll do my best to explain to you. All right. For those who have diligently following the faith, diligently following Jesus as a disciple, keep discipling yourself. Don't give up during this time. Like I keep telling people, this is the best time under lockdown. It's the best time to disciple yourself. Read your Bible. Say more prayers. Connect with people. It's the best time that we equip ourselves. All right. So when we come here, I hope that you are all well. And I hope that this born again will give you some encouragement that you can come to Jesus and Jesus will always show compassion to you. And following up, I'm going to close this with a song. All right, and I hope that this song you all know too well is called It Is Well with My Soul. Who doesn't know that? Maybe a lot of young people doesn't know, but you know, I think it's a very good song which is tally with what born again means. Yeah.